Paryasa, over-endeavoring. Bhakti does not appear unless one first renounces Paryasa. The word Paryas in the second verse of Sri Upadeshamrit indicates exertion or effort. The ultimate attainment is pure devotion to Bhagwan and nothing else. Surrender, Sharanagati, and being under guidance, Anugatya, are symptoms of devotion to the lotus feet of Bhagwan, and both comprise the perfected nature and eternal occupation of the living entity. Therefore, bhakti is the living entity's natural function or innate activity. Although an innate activity does not require endeavor, performing bhakti sadhana requires a slight amount of endeavor when the living entity is in a conditioned state. All other types of endeavors aside from this slight endeavor are unfavorable for bhakti. There are two types of prayas, Gyan prayas and Karma prayas. The result of Gyan prayas is the realization of complete non-duality, or in other words, merging into featureless aspect of Brahm, Sayujya Mukti. This is also called Brahm Nirvan. The endeavor for Gyan is opposed to Bhakti. Gyan prayas, endeavoring for impersonal knowledge, is an impediment to the ultimate goal of life. There is much evidence of this in the Vedas. Mundak Upanishad 3.2.3 has clarified, Naim atma parvachane labhyo na medhya na bahuna shrutena yam evasha varanuttu tenu labhyas tasya asya atma vivranuttu tanum syam. One cannot attain parbrahm, paramatma, by lecturing, by intellect, or by study of various shastras. He only reveals his transcendental form by his own mercy to one whom he himself accepts. The use of the word Atma indicates both the soul and the super soul, Paramatma. The Atma cannot be realized by exhaustively studying or explaining the Vedas, nor on the strength of an intellectual understanding of scriptures, nor by hearing the scriptures extensively. A learned person who desires to attain Paramatma can do so only by the desire or mercy of Paramatma. In other words, he reveals his form only to those who choose to worship him as their Lord. Because he is eternally perfect, he cannot be attained by any other method. Bhakti, therefore, is the only medium through which one can attain Bhagwan. Srimad Bhagavatam also prescribes the complete renunciation of all endeavor to acquire impersonal knowledge, jnana, which is absolutely worthless and an impediment to attain the supreme goal. Jnane prayasam utapasya namant eva jivanti san mukritam bhavadya vartam sthane stita shuti gatam tano van vano bhir ye prayaso ajit jit api asi tais trilokyam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3. O Prabhu, those persons who do not endeavor for impersonal knowledge, but remain fixed in their position, perform no activity other than associating with saintly persons. While remaining in the associations of saints who possess pure love for you, they naturally receive the opportunity to hear them sing the narrations of your pastimes. They then humbly offer their body, mind, and words to honoring those narrations and do so to such an extent that it becomes their very life. They cannot live without it. O Prabhu, although you cannot be conquered by anyone within the three worlds, you are conquered by such devotees and become subordinate to their prem. Furthermore, while pointing out the futility of endeavoring for impersonal knowledge, the author of Srimad Bhagavatam has made a very beautiful comparison. Shreya Shritim Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibhu Kleshanti Ye Kevalya Bodh Labdai Tesham Aso Kleshas Eva Shishyad Nanyad Yatha Sthul Tusha Avghati Nam. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4. O Bhagwan, Bhakti to you is the main source of all kinds of auspiciousness. Those who give up this path just to cultivate impersonal knowledge simply undergo hard work, suffer pain, and achieve difficulty, just as the only gain of a person who beats empty husks is hard work, not rice. Knowledge of one's relationship with Bhagwan, Sambandha Gyan, is different from and purer than knowledge of the featureless aspect of the Absolute, Advaita Gyan. Absolute non-duality, Keval Advaitavad, which is a form of impersonal knowledge, is not rooted in reality. This non-dual form of Gyan is wicked and is simply a method to delude the demons. The Gyan that the scriptures glorifies as Sambandha Gyan, or knowledge of one's relationship with Bhagwan, is completely different from non-dual Gyan. Sambandha Gyan is extremely pure and natural, and therefore, no purificatory endeavors are necessary to attain it. The Gyan mentioned in the four seed verses, Chatushloki of Srimad Bhagavatam, refers to Sambandha Gyan, knowledge that the living entity is inconceivably one with and different from Bhagwan, and it is contained in the heart of all living entities. Bhagwan is like a transcendental sun, and the living entity is like a minute ray of that sun. Without acting in accordance with Bhagwan, the living entity, Jiva, cannot be situated in its original transcendental form. Therefore, the constitutional nature of the Jivas is to be a servant of Bhagwan. Bhakti sadhan is not in the category of over-endeavor, prayas. Although the constitutional nature of the Jivas, servitude to Bhagwan, is dormant in the conditioned stage and must be revived through sadhan, bhakti does not necessitate as much effort as jnana and karma. By taking exclusive shelter of Harinam with full faith, the covering of ignorance is quickly removed and the bliss of one's constitutional nature manifests. But a person who gives the desire for jnana prayas or endeavors for impersonal knowledge a place in his heart must undergo great suffering. Then, when he is delivered from jnana prayas by the effect of associating with saintly persons, the desire to perform endeavors related to bhakti manifests in the heart of a sadhak. The result of endeavoring for monistic knowledge, jnana prayas. In Bhagavad Gita, Mai avyashya mano ye mam nitya yukta upasate shraddhaya prayopetas te me yukta tamamatah yete aksharam anirdeshayam avyaktam paryupasate sarvatra gam achintyam cha kutastham achalam dhruvam saniyam indriya gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapanuvanti mam eva sarvabhuta hite rata klesho adik tarasatesham avyakta sakta chetasam avyakta hi gatir dukham devadvir upayet. In essence, this means those who are fully endowed with the symptoms of surrender and worship me with immense faith are the best of the yogis. But those who have fully controlled their senses see everything as equal, worshipping the indestructible, all-pervading, unmanifest, immutable, immovable, inconceivable, formless, and featureless aspect of the impersonal effulgence, which is beyond intellect understanding, are jnana prayasis. If in their hearts they feel mercy for all living entities, then, after great effort and struggle, they obtain the mercy of my devotees, and at last they attain me. In the latter method of worship, one must undergo great difficulty, and moreover, experience a delay in obtaining one's desired goal. This is the result of performing jnana prayas. We will now discuss the result of karma prayas. The result of endeavoring for the fruit of one's action, karma prayas. The result of karma prayas, that is, the endeavor to perform the fruitive activities prescribed in the Vedas, is the same as jnana prayas. It also cannot cause auspiciousness. The perspective of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.8 is as follows. Dharma swanustita pumsam vikshaksen kathasuya naudpad yadiratim sham evahi kevalam. Any spiritual practices and occupational duties that do not inspire attraction for Harikatha, that is, the narrations about Sri Krishna, are simply a waste of time. Here, dharma indicates one's function within varnashrama according to the division of the scriptures describing fruitive actions, karmakand. If deep attachments to the discussions about Bhagwan does not appear in a person's heart, even after perfectly abiding by one's function within varnashrama, then it is merely useless labor, prayas. Therefore, like jnana prayas, karma prayas is opposed to bhakti. Activities means karma favorable for bhakti are not over endeavor. The conclusion is that the endeavors for the fruits of one's actions, karma, and the pursuit of monastic knowledge, jnana, are extremely harmful. If, however, a devotee performs the activities of varnashram dharma in order to maintain his life in a noble manner, then those activities, being favorable for bhakti, are considered bhakti, not karma. Swanishta bhaktas make those prescribed duties and the fruit of those duties obedient to bhakti. Parinishtita bhaktas perform activities that are not unfavorable for bhakti, merely for the welfare of common people. Nirapeksh bhaktas reject popular opinion and perform only those activities that are favorable to for bhakti. Only those activities that are favorable for bhakti. Endeavors for jnana, including those for sayujya mukti, are greatly opposed to the endeavor to attain the ultimate goal of life. If Ashtang Yoga is practiced to attain mystic opulences and to merge into the existence of the Lord, then it also is opposed to bhakti. The regulations of bhakti sadhan and knowledge that one's relationship with Bhagwan consists of an inconceivable oneness with and simultaneously difference from Him are innate in the living entities. Such knowledge is therefore known as prayasa shunya, or devoid of endeavor. In this way, although karma and jnana are respectable methodologies, they are completely unworthy goals. This will be elaborated on further in the chapter titled Niyam Agraha. Pilgrimage to holy places, serving Vaishnavas and performing deity worship, Sankirtan etc. are not useless endeavors when their aim is to attain the association of saintly persons. The laborious effort of pilgrimage to holy places is purely toil, and it is also an endeavor opposed to bhakti. But if that same pilgrimage to Krishna's pastime places is performed with eagerness to obtain the association of saintly persons and with a greed to kindle feelings for Sri Krishna, then it is a limb of bhakti and not a useless endeavor. This being the case, vows taken in relation to the limbs of bhakti are also not useless endeavors, nor are endeavors to serve Vaishnavas. Because greed for the association of sadhus or saintly personalities rectify the fault of greed for the association of immoral persons. Endeavors made to worship the deity are natural, just as the outpouring of heartfelt emotion is natural. The spontaneous, heartfelt uttering of the names of the Lord are only Sankirtan prayas. Consequently, because these activities are performed naturally, they cannot be called prayas. Endeavors for renunciation, vairagya prayas, are absolutely unnecessary. Any slight endeavor for vairagya, means renunciation, is unnecessary because after bhakti awakens, an aversion to anything unrelated to Krishna arises naturally within the sadhak. This is the teaching of Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.7. वासुदेव भगवती भक्ति योग प्रयोजित जनते अशु वैराग्यम ज्ञानम यद ब्रह्म दर्शनम। द मीनिंग इज दैट बाय परफॉर्मिंग भक्ति योग टू भगवान वासुदेव द फॉलोइंग अराइजेस डिटैचमेंट फ्रॉम द मटेरियल वर्ल्ड और डिटैचमेंट डिवाइड ऑफ एंडेवर एंड अनमोटिवेटेड नॉलेज और नॉलेज दैट वन इज एन इटर्नली रियलाइज सर्वेंट ऑफ भगवान। देयरफॉर कर्म ज्ञान yoga and vairagya which are impediments to bhakti do not degrade a person engaged in the practice of bhakti to bhagwan because he has given up endeavoring for them. The absence of over endeavor in bhakti. Shrimad Bhagavatam 11.2.42 mentions bhakti hi pareshano bhava viraktir anyatra cheis trek ek kalah प्रपद मानस्य यथाशनत्त सयुस तुष्टि पुष्टि खुद अपाय अनुघासम। विद ईच माउथफुल ऑफ फूड अ हंग्री पर्सन टेक्स थ्री अफेक्ट्स आर साइमल्टेनियसली अकम्प्लिश ही ऑब्टेन्स सेटिस्फैक्शन ही इज नरिश एंड हिज हंगर सीजेस। सिमिलरली सरेंडर्ड सोल्स हु आर एंगेज इन द परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ भजन साइमल्टेनियसली एक्सपीरियंस थ्री अफेक्ट्स the awakening of bhakti that ultimately develops into prem, the direct manifestation of Bhagwan's beloved form and detachment from anything opposed to bhakti. This verse establishes that bhakti and sambandh gyan simultaneously appear in the heart of a person who one-pointedly worships Bhagwan along with the renunciation of anything unrelated to Bhagwan. When a devotee feels himself extremely fallen and destitute and chants and remembers Shri Krishna's name with sincerity, the following sentiments naturally arise in his heart. I am a minute particle of Supreme Consciousness. I am an eternal servant of Krishna. Krishna is our eternal master. My inherent nature is to be exclusively surrendered at his lotus feet. This temporary material world is merely a boarding house and is very harmful for me to be attached to anything in it. A list of various types of over-endeavor. For a practitioner who has taken shelter of the names of Shri Hari, the following are Virodhi Tattva or averse to bhakti. Endeavors for impersonal knowledge, jnana, endeavors for fruitive acts, karma, endeavors for mystic opulences, yoga, endeavors for liberation, mukti, endeavors to improve one's material existence, samsara, and endeavors to obtain the association of non-devotees, a satsanga. These endeavors destroy one's bhajan. The endeavor for recognition and prestige, pratishtha, is even more dangerous than this. Although this type of prayas is extremely abominable, many cannot avoid it. It is vital, in all respects, to eradicate such endeavor through bhakti, free from duplicity. Shri Sanatana Goswami has written, सर्व त्यागे अपि एहायाया सर्व अनर्थं भुवश्चाते कुर्युः प्रतिष्ठः विष्टयः यत्नाम अस्पर्शने वरम। हरि भक्ति विलास 20.370। इवन इफ वन हैज गिवन अप एवरीथिंग एल्स द डिजायर फॉर नेम एंड फेम मीन्स प्रतिष्ठा विच इज द रूट कॉज ऑफ ऑल अनर्थस रिमेन्स। द प्राइम ड्यूटी इज टू गिव अप दिस प्रतिष्ठा which is compared to stool, what to speak of touching this pratishtha, do not see it even from a distance. This instruction is extremely grave. Devotees should observe this practice, the chanting of Harinam with care. No other practice is required. How householder Vaishnavas perform bhajan devoid of prayas? While maintaining their life by performing simple activities that are favorable for bhakti, sadhaka should perform Harinam Sankirtan and Smaran, remembrance within the context of their relationship with Bhagwan. There are two types of performing worship that is free from over-endeavor, as householders do and as renunciants do. A householder is to maintain his life by performing Varnashrama in a way that is favorable for devotion, and thus perform bhajan free from over-endeavor. He ought to earn and collect in such a way that he can maintain his family without difficulty. We must never forget that worshipping Sri Hari is our life's only goal, for then there is no possibility of falling down. Whether sleeping or awake, moving here and there, or feeling happy or sad, we will remain engaged in bhajan at all times, and consequently, we will obtain perfection in our worship within a short period of time. How renunciate Vaishnav perform bhajan devoid of prayas? Renunciate devotees should never accumulate anything. They should remain satisfied with whatever daily alms they collect, and while maintaining their life in this way, practice bhakti. Beginning any other kind of endeavor gives rise to faults, to the degree that the practitioner performs his worship with humility and sincerity. Krishna Tattva, the ontological truth of Sri Krishna, will be relieved to him by Krishna's mercy. In Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Lord Brahma says, Tatyanukampam susmikshamano munjan evatma kritam vipakam hridevag vapubhi vididhan namaste jivet yo mukti pade sadaibhak. This means, O Krishna, that person who at every moment and with great eagerness knowingly experiences your mercy and accept with an unwavering mind whatever happiness and misery comes as a result of actions performed in his previous births, and with a heart full of love, a choked voice and horripilation, offers himself at your lotus feet, becomes eligible to attain residence in your spiritual abode, just as a son becomes eligible to inherit his father's wealth. All the various types of prayas, efforts headed by jnana prayas, hold no benefit. Only by your mercy can you be understood completely. Lord Brahma further says in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.29, Athapi te dev padam bhujadvai prasad lesh anugrita evahi janati tattvam bhagwan mahimano na chanyo eko api chiram vichinvan. O Lord, one who attains even a little of the mercy of your two lotus feet can comprehend the essence of your transcendental glories. Others cannot realize the essential truth of yourself, even though they may keep searching for you for many years through jnana and vairagya. Hence, without any endeavor, by the mercy of Bhagwan, the science of devotion to him easily manifests in the heart of a sadhak who considered himself fallen and destitute and who chants Harinam. One cannot realize this science by independently endeavoring for knowledge even after many lifetimes.